time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is joined this week by cryptographer Jeremy Horwitz and teacher Lori Fisher.
Gotta be this or that.
Here's your host and moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Just a second, I almost did a spit take. welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend and can help us over the course of the next hour with our show, which, after all, is nothing without you because we are an audience participation quiz program. We need your participation. That's awfully important, of course. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So all you have to do is call in with either an answer or a question of your own. That's about all we really ask. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. So I will say that our station manager had an idea for the show tonight, and his idea, Matt Martin, was to get a pledge and a new member for each letter in Minds Over Matter. So that's 15 letters. So we are encouraging you to do that. We want somebody to start out with the M sometime soon. And we want to go through all those 15 letters over the course of the next hour.
Claim any letter they like? Like they could go to O first?
Well, it'd be nice to do it in order.
All right.
I haven't got time to figure it out any other way.
Well, David will handle it.
All right, maybe David can handle that. So we'd like 15 pledges over the course of the next hour. That would be great. You can pledge whatever amount you feel like. But if you appreciate this show and all the shows here at KALW and the type of show that they have here and the news and everything, well, by all means, call in and pledge because I think the station deserves that. So again, that's 15 pledges we want over the course of the next hour, one for each letter in Minds Over Matter.
Dana, if I could interrupt you, I'll offer that phone number, which is 800-525-9917, to make that pledge. And I'll be watching the web and the phones and be reporting back if you'd like. We'll announce your name during Minds Over Matter. Be one of those 15 to claim a letter of Minds Over Matter. Thanks.
Excellent.
Right. Dave is right on the edge now, so don't... By not pledging, you may just push him over. So please pledge.
And somebody could claim like both M's and both T's if they want.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's absolutely fine.
They pay double for
that. I'm not going to lay down any big rules about it. Again, so this is Minds Over Matter, and I just want to remind you of our email address, which is Minds Over Matter, MindsOverMatter, that's 15 words, or 15 letters. Not 15 words, 15 letters, folks, at yahoo.com. That's our email address. If you would like to hear us online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, remember, a pledge for every letter in Minds Over Matter. That would be very helpful to us, the station, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Here's the first. Jeremy Horwitz recently helped write a crossword puzzle, half in Russian. Since Jeremy doesn't speak Russian, he hopes that the puzzle turned out well.
It's true.
That is true.
That's true. Especially the hoping it turned out well part.
All right.
Let's see. Lori Fisher would like to congratulate the NFL for lifting its ban on touchdown celebrations. And in solidarity, he has developed a new in-studio backflip. For every question he gets right tonight, of course, he will time his flip to the sound of the Minds Over Matter bell.
It's going to be a big night for backflips and bells. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wishes to remind our listeners that Minds Over Matter is a scholarship pageant, not a beauty pageant.
That's right.
And you couldn't tell.
We're on the radio.
Nobody's going to be wearing bathing suits tonight. And we'll begin the questioning with Jeremy Horwitz.
All right. The OED's first recorded use of the initialism, OMG, occurred in a letter dated 100 years ago yesterday.
Whoa.
From Jackie Fisher to whom? And it was actually OMG as Oh My God.
Wow.
So again, the OAD's first recorded use of the initialism OMG occurred in a letter dated 100 years ago yesterday from a man named Jackie Fisher. To whom?
Is Jackie Fisher the first Sea Lord of England? That Jackie Fisher?
That Jackie Fisher, yes.
Is this Jackie Fisher not related to me?
Didn't spell it the same way.
So you must know this.
To Winston Churchill.
It was, absolutely. Whoa. The War Secretary Winston Churchill at the time.
Yes.
Wow.
Impressive.
Well, indeed.
All right, ask us another question.
All right. Today's the 9th anniversary of the Large Hadron Collider initially going live. Through what two countries does it run? The Large Hadron Collider. We were all scared the universe was going to blow up.
I think Switzerland.
Switzerland, I think.
That's one of the two.
That's one.
I'll give you a hint. It borders Switzerland, the other one.
I thought maybe it skipped. Austria? No. I would guess Austria.
Austria does border Switzerland, of course, but it's not the not the other country.
I'll take one of its
I'll say France.
Those are the two. France and Switzerland.
Nice.
All right. Good. All right. Lori, you go ahead.
All right. I have some short questions. Usually I have a list, but these are sort of cleanup questions. I have three questions that are unrelated to anything except me. Number one is, every year there's a certain edition of the New York Times that is its heaviest edition, its longest and weighs the most. Which is that edition?
Is it a book review?
No. So it's not a section in it. It's like one day of the year it comes out and it hits your ground with the loudest sound because it weighs the most.
So what day of the year?
Yeah.
Is it related to a holiday in any way?
No.
Is there a section that appears of the paper that appears in that issue that never appears in any other issue during the year? Like they have a watch section that comes out once a year.
Kind of. They have expanded sections in this particular issue.
All right.
But not a separate, I know what you mean, like a watch, a heavy watch section. It's not that. But that's kind of like that.
They don't do a large print edition one day a year, do they?
Not to my knowledge. Maybe online.
All right. I have to think about that. Okay. Give the question once more.
Okay. So the question is, one day a year, traditionally, the New York Times has an edition that it's its heaviest edition. It weighs the most. And I want to know which that edition is.
Is it still printed on the normal paper and everything?
It is.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Normal paper, normal newsprint size.
It's not just kosher for Passover paper or something. All right.
All right.
That'd be nice.
Our lines are open right now. So we've got to get 15 calls.
I want to hear someone call in and pledge and get this New York Times thing.
Yeah. I know.
I'm curious.
So the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Unless Phil and Shingo have been working on the phones again, maybe we're not going to get any calls. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay, I'll do a question. Could you give a couple questions? What person does the Nobel Peace Prize Committee consider the greatest omission in the history of the prize?
Gandhi.
That's correct.
Ooh, that's quick.
Yes.
They've gone public.
He decided to go die and everything, so they couldn't give it to him in 48.
Yes.
It's a bad choice in his part.
All right. In 1939, this residence, it was a private residence at the time, became the first building to become a federally recognized landmark through the Department of the Interior. In 1939, this residence became the first building in the United States to become a federally recognized landmark.
I want it to be somewhere that Roosevelt used to live. Teddy, in fact.
But no.
Mm-mm. All right.
It was not a birthplace of a president or anything like that.
So it was a residence but isn't now, I think.
It is a residence today, but it's a residence that is owned by the government today.
Okay.
And at the time, was it a residence that like a single-family dwelling kind of residence?
Yes.
How about Hull House in Chicago?
That's a good guess. No, not Hull House.
Not it.
Especially with the last one being a Nobel Prize question.
Yeah.
Right. So in 1939, this residence became the first building to become a federally recognized landmark through the Department of the Interior. It's a very well-known building.
And
Now owned by the federal government.
Is it better known for the building itself or the famous person persons who live there?
It's more like the persons that actually have lived there. It's a fairly nondescript-looking building. I think all of us have seen it, actually.
And I'm wondering if it's on currency or something.
It is not.
Okay.
It is not on currency. And let's see. I'll give you one more here. Who were the first and last actors, so the first time this happened and the last time this happened, to star in back-to-back Best Pictures? Who was the first actor to star in a back-to-back Best Picture, you know, for 2 years running? And who was the last actor to star in a back-to-back Best Picture?
Has this happened a bunch of times?
Not a bunch of times. It's happened a couple of times. And I'm looking for a male, two males.
And want to give us a hint as to what decades we're talking about when this
happened? What are the names of the pictures?
Okay. Well, the last one of them is the last decade. Or this,
the current decade?
The current decade. So who was the first actor to star in back-to-back Best Pictures, and who was the last actor to star in
Michael Keaton.
That is one of them. Yes, Michael Keaton for?
Spotlight and Birdman or the something.
I'll just take Birdman.
All right, thanks.
Michael Keaton is one. That's the last one.
That's really good.
Who was the first one?
All right.
And let's go to a call.
Yes.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hello. This is John from Bernal Heights.
Hi, John.
I have an answer for the New York Times. I believe it is today.
It is.
It impressed me as being especially heavy when I went to the door this morning. And it has the sort of the arts preview, you know, that there's film, there's dramas and music and so on.
Fall,
and I think it had men's fashion. So.
It does. It has the fall arts preview. And
fall
each section
arts preview.
Has a separate
section.
Yeah,
and I think there's also an extra magazine.
There was, yeah.
So, yeah. Now, I think I have, I'm going to make a guess on that dwelling. Is that Blair House?
It is Blair House.
Where
the
vice president lives. I have no idea who the Blairs were, but...
Montgomery Blair. No. He was the, I think, the Postmaster General for Lincoln and he had some cabinet positions earlier. But he left his house. The family owned the house up until the 30s early 40s, and then it was left to the federal government.
Yeah, and how long have vice presidents been in there? I don't think that's a...
They're in the Naval Observatory.
That's not a
very long thing, is there, for having a vice presidential mansion, I guess, Blair House?
No, not at all. No, it was never Blair House. It was House was the guest house for the visiting dignitaries.
Oh, is that it? Oh, okay. All right. For some reason, I thought the vice presidents lived there. They live somewhere else. There is...
As Jeremy said, it's the Naval Observatory.
Oh, does Jerry know? Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot. Good luck. I made my pledge yesterday, so I think I'm okay.
Thank you very
much. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Right. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
So, actors, how about John Barrymore?
No.
Okay. And then I have a question. So at what hotel did Martin Luther King write his I Have a Dream speech?
At what hotel?
Mm-hmm. Kind of piggybacks on your last
question. Memphis Blair House.
Well, it's not Blair, but, you know. It's where is Blair and what city?
Washington, D.C.
Yep.
So is this the name of a hotel we would recognize readily?
Well, it should be pretty well known, and also I think Lincoln spoke from the steps of it as well.
So not the Lincoln Memorial.
No.
No, because that would have been, a problem.
So different hotel.
How about the Willard Hotel, then?
Exactly.
Wow. Really?
Right. Yeah. Well, that was the famous traditional hotel in Washington.
Yeah. Right. That's good.
Yeah, good work.
Thank you.
All right. Take it easy. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Again, we're trying to get a pledge for every letter in Minds Over Matter. So that's 15 pledges we're looking for. We hope if you appreciate the show and the 24 years that we've been on now, you can step up and pledge. We try not to ask you too many times during the year, but if you can help us, that would be very much appreciated. Thanks. And Jeremy, it is your turn.
Jeremy, just before, there's a quick update already. We have a M claimed by Mary Haddon and Alameda.
Excellent.
And Greg Merrick in Alameda also wanted to claim the O in Over Matter. So
all right.
Way to
He's
go.
Got the O.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I like Excellent. The skipping her out. Yeah.
All right.
It's like
Thank
Scrabble.
You. And Jeremy, it's your turn.
All right. The inspired by, obviously, by your Nobel question earlier, the Swedish Academy, who selects the Nobel Prizes, lists a primary language for each of the 113 literature winners. 13 languages appear on the list more than once. What are they?
Well, English.
I almost just gave that one for free, but yes, that's
French.
First. French is second.
German.
That's third. Can we do these in order, please? Thank you.
Well, I thought you insisted on it.
No. Okay. I'm impressed.
Russian.
Russian's on there.
What number?
That's sixth.
Yeah. Well,
you guys want to take one more each?
I'm going to take Spanish.
See? Should have done the others. Yeah. The rest of these languages I can't say yes or no in.
You're writing crossword puzzles in these languages. You should have that.
Portuguese?
No.
What number was
just
Spanish?
Just one author for Portuguese.
Right. And Italian?
Si.
Okay. All right. Leave that.
So we got six of them, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So repeat that if you would.
The question is, the Swedish Academy lists a primary language for each of the 113 literature winners. 13 languages appear on that list more than once. What are they? And we've had six. Those were English, French, Italian, Russian, and Spanish.
All right. And we have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to give us a call, that's area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Or toll free, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Please remember, we're trying to get a pledge for every letter in Minds Over Matter tonight. So that's 15 pledges we're looking for. And that number is area code 1-800-525-9917. That's 800-525-9917 or kalw.org.
Only 13 to go, right?
And
we have two.
Yeah.
M and V.
You go ahead too, Lori.
Oh, okay. This was partly inspired by you, Dana. Last week you brought up some questions.
Everybody's inspired by me tonight.
Yeah. So we have to be nice to the boss.
Yeah.
You introduced some questions about the National Film Registry, which is the American kind of documented sense of excellence, not the Academy Awards. So I looked at the list. It was great. And there are five films in which the first word of that film is a number written out as a number. So it'd be something like 21 Grams, which you see 2-1, or 21 Jump Street. It might be a year. It might be a time. 1984 could be one. It's not just a number, just to be clear, like Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, that the word is the first, the word itself. So I'm looking for the actual numerals appear as the first part of the title.
Are they all American films?
Yes.
Okay, so 400 Blows is out.
That's right. It would be in, but it's out.
Yeah.
I should say that Josh Cosman asked a similar question.
Oh, he did.
I don't think it wasn't exactly the same question, but it was
close enough.
A slight overlap. But no, it's okay.
If I'm lucky, you don't remember the answer.
12 Angry Men.
That's one of them.
Okay.
And 42nd Street.
Yes, those are two of them. You're out now.
All
but
right.
That's exactly in the spirit of that.
7 Days in May.
No. And I think the seven is spelled out in 7 Days in May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Okay.
So the question is, there's three more films in the National Film Registry, and these are narrative films, not documentaries, in which the first word is a number.
That's good.
2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yes, that's another one. Give me a bell for that.
All right.
I was counting up, and I eventually got there.
2001. Yeah. All right.
Well, if you keep counting, one's higher and one's lower.
Oh, good. That's good to know.
Yeah. That's a good hint, actually.
And we have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to give us a call, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right, I'll give you a question and we'll take a call. So a couple of years ago, the BBC in London did a national poll in England, and they asked the listeners on both television and radio who were the 100 greatest Britons of all time. Who were the 100 greatest Britons of all time? So I'm just going to ask you the top 10. So the BBC's national poll a couple of years ago, they selected the 100 greatest Britons of all time. I have the top 10 of that list. I will tell you that there is only one monarch on that list. Okay? Only one, so don't waste your time with...
Britons of all time?
Charles the First and William the Fourth. So
don't lose your head.
William the Fourth? No.
And, okay, so I have a couple of... just slightly beyond that. On this list, on this top 10 list, Which one of them had their head displayed on a spike next to Westminster Abbey? Ended up with that. So which one of the top 10, the people on the top 10 list of the greatest Britons of all time, had their head displayed on a spike for 5 years?
5 years?
5 years next to Westminster Abbey.
All right. So we need 11, we need 10 names and one's on the spike. Right?
Yeah, yeah, one of them is on the spike. So again, BBC National Poll, the 100 greatest Britons of all time.
He's already ruled out Charles I. That's the first place I would have gone with that.
Yeah,
actually.
No.
Understandably not on that list, though.
Only one monarch on the list. So, and which one of the people on this list had their head displayed on a spike opposite Westminster Abbey?
William Wallace? I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. But he did have his head displayed on a spike, but that was not...
He's not on
the top 10 list.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Okay, so I'm going to guess... I'm not guessing the spike. I'll get to that. So I'm just going to guess some of the 10.
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, Shakespeare.
Shakespeare is one. Okay.
Do we need him in order?
Shakespeare is number 5.
Okay. And I'm going to guess Elizabeth the First.
That is the monarch.
Okay.
Elizabeth the First. Okay,
so,
very
Jeremy,
good.
You take a couple.
How about Winston Churchill?
Winston Churchill is number 1.
Yeah, no surprise there.
He's back.
Yes.
And his head is not on a spike.
No, he was not the one. So again, BBC National Poll, the 100 greatest Britons of all time. I'm only asking the top 10. And so far we have Winston Churchill, Shakespeare, and Elizabeth I. She's the only monarch on that list. One of the people on that list had their head put on a spike opposite Westminster Abbey for 5 years. And then went on to a successful career.
In song and dance. Yes.
As a ventriloquist.
Now, Alan Turing should be on there.
But no, it is not. Alan Turing is on the greater list,
yeah.
But not in the top 10.
Do you want us to guess more or leave it out?
Leave it out for the moment.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi. So I have a guess for movies that start with numbers.
Yes.
12 Monkeys, is that on the list?
No, it's not in the registry.
Too new, probably.
What about the 25th Hour?
No, also not.
Okay.
And should be, I think.
And Greatest Britons of All Time, is Charles Darwin on that list?
Charles Darwin is on that list, number 4. Very good.
Great. Okay, so I have a question about movies.
Okay.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind was in theaters again this weekend because of a 40th anniversary thing, and led me to wonder about science fiction movies that were nominated for lots of Oscars. So that was actually nominated for 9 Oscars, but it wasn't nominated for Best Picture. I was wondering if you could tell me, there are 3 movies before 2009 that were nominated for Best Picture that were science fiction movies.
You know, Star Wars.
Star Wars is one.
Very good. Is Avatar one?
That's 2009. That's the year he was.
Oh, that's
that
the
cut off. In fact, that's the reason for the cutoff.
Okay.
Oh, and that's when they expanded the list. Oh, no, it was 2010, actually.
Well, there was like a turning point in 2009 where all of a sudden there was a bunch of science fiction movies that were nominated. Actually, in 2009, there were 2 nominated that year.
Oh,
but
wow.
Before that, in the entire history, there were only 3 science fiction movies.
So was 2001 nominated?
It actually wasn't, no.
Okay.
It did win for like special effects or something like that, though.
So, can you give us the decade that the other movies were nominated?
So, Star Wars is in the 70s,
right.
Another from the 70s, and one in the 80s.
Okay, so nothing before the...
E.T.? Is that science fiction?
That's a good guess.
Yeah, that's on the list I have.
All right, good. So we just need one more.
From the 70s.
Did Blade Runner make it?
That's 80s.
No.
No, oh, and E.T.'s the 80s?
The 80s is E.T.,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so we're looking for another 70s.
Yeah. I'm wondering what the exact year is, because that would make this go a lot faster, but all right. Science fiction from the 70s. Guessing it's not Clockwork Orange.
It is. Oh, sorry. I must have missed guess. That's it.
Well, that's it.
It is Clockwork Orange.
Very nice.
Wow, that's way darker than I would have expected. All right.
Excellent. Good.
So I was wrong by saying it's not Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, sorry,
neat question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And is it science fiction? You think of Clockwork Orange as science fiction?
Sure. Close. Apparently I did.
Yeah.
Think of it.
It's science fiction.
Yeah. I hope it's not fact.
You are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is cryptographer Jeremy Horwitz, Professor Emeritus, Dabo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Again, we have a couple of lines open if you'd like to give us a call with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255. Just to remind you, we are doing pledging tonight, so if you can step up and take one of the letters in Minds Over Matter. There are 15 letters. I don't know how many we have taken so far, but feel free to take one. We want to pledge for each one. That number is 1-800-525-9917 or kalw.org. I'll ask David how things are going.
Not bad, Dana. Actually, we have... M-I-N and taken. N was just taken by Nana Dawson Ando. Anonymous person in Berkeley gave a very generous pledge to claim the I. Mm-hmm. Julie Drury and took the V and over.
Wow,
and we have the M and Matter taken by John Silva and Donna Simmons in San Rafael.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
appreciate that a lot.
800-525-9917.
It's a hit.
Great. Oh, now Matt Martin's going to come up with an idea every single time we do this.
Dana Rodriguez.
Yeah. I suggested that, you know, since this is our 24th year, we get 24. But he says, save that for the 25th year. So right, we'll do
24
that.
For the 25th year?
No, the 20, we'll just do the 25. And let's see. Where was I here? I think it's your turn, Jeremy.
Sure. All right. Here's pretty straightforward two. Pretty quick ones. Who's the youngest person to serve as U.S. Secretary of Defense? And who's the oldest person to serve as U.S. Secretary of Defense?
Is it the same person?
It is not. I'll have more on that comment in a moment.
All right. So, I was thinking of...
Rumsfeld.
For which one?
For the youngest.
He is the youngest.
Yeah.
He once was the oldest.
Oh.
I think he was 36.
He was
still in his
early
40s.
Early 40s.
Early 40s? Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So
I just looked this up like 2 hours ago. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So who's since him? Who's older?
Well, the oldest is it Mattis?
No.
Mattis?
Your logic is sound, and there aren't too many names to pick from. He's a Santa Clara University alumnus, I believe.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, that doesn't help.
No, that doesn't help at all.
Let's see.
So undergrad and JD.
This is under Obama?
It is.
Oh, Cap Weinberger.
No. That was Reagan, I think.
Who was Obama? He was old, though. Secretary of Defense.
He had at least two.
Who's the other one? I have to think about this. All right.
Leave it out for one of the pledgers.
Right.
All right. So, again, the question that remains is who is the oldest person to serve as Secretary of Defense of the United States?
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah. This is David Milkwind.
Hi, David.
Hey, so I have some guesses for the few of the categories. The Nobel Prize winners in literature.
Yeah,
is that Swedish?
Absolutely, that's fifth on the list.
Good.
Seven.
All right. Japanese.
That's 11th. There are two.
Oh.
Right. I think I'm not positive. Are there two Polish winners?
There are four Polish winners.
Oh, okay. So I guess yeah.
So
and
it
then,
is definitely
last one. I'm not sure. Is Arabic one of them?
Only one, so no.
That's only not, one?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's one.
Right.
But...
Okay, so I have a couple on the list of the greatest Britons.
Yes.
Isaac Newton?
Isaac Newton is number six. Very good.
Right. Nelson?
Nelson is number nine. Ooh. Excellent.
Number nine?
Lord Nelson.
Okay, did Benny Hill make it? Or
no, no, not yet. Yeah.
I don't think we have the music ready for that. Sorry.
The spike
who,
thing.
It's all who you know. what about John Milton?
Not John Milton.
Not general.
Not in the top 10.
That's the last of my guesses. But I do have one question for you.
Okay.
I called a few weeks ago asking about the three most popular pieces of music in
sure.
film history.
Yep.
So I have one along the same lines. But what is the most popular piece of classical music used in film history?
Beethoven's Fifth. No.
That's a perfectly good guess.
That was my first guess, too.
This means it's appeared in the most... most different movies, right?
Right, and just as a little, even though it's not a contemporary piece, it's really in the last, I think, 15 years where it became the most popular piece.
Wow.
Is it Pachelbel's Canon?
Oh, that's a good guess. That's
in
really
D?
Good.
No. in a
I want to read Mr. Blue Sky by ELO, but that's not really classical.
How old is this piece of music, roughly?
Century. Within the last century.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's not Barber, is it? Is it?
No, it's not Barber's Adagio.
Okay.
Oh, that is really
that's
popular.
That's the really depressing.
How about Bolero?
Patton one.
No.
That's a great guess. Ever since
if I told you the context, well,
is it an orchestral piece of music or can it be played? Is it a solo piece of
context is relevant here?
Oh no, it's played orchestral.
Okay. All right.
With vocals.
So it's going to appear at some, like always at weddings or always at funerals or always at, there's some context that.
How about Carmina Burana?
Carmina Burana is it.
Nice. All right. Nice work.
All right. Yeah. I don't really care for that very much.
Well,
that doesn't disqualify.
Okay. No.
You guys have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. So this is kind of a list question. I'm going to give you a list of popular composer of popular songs. Mm-hmm. In each case, the Beatles recorded one song written by this person. That makes sense? See if you know.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes they're co-written, but I'm only giving you one name in each case. The first one's Smokey Robinson. Second one is, let me go through them all.
Sure.
Second one is Carole King. Third one is Burt Bacharach. Number four is Berry Gordy. Five is Meredith Willson. And number six is Buddy Holly.
Well, I have to take the easiest one, which is Meredith Willson. At least the easiest one to me.
Well, that's not what I would say.
It was just Till There Was You.
Yeah, from the Music Band.
Right.
And then Please, Mr. Postman. Is that Smokey Robinson?
It's not.
Oh, but I bet that's one of the answers.
Yeah, it's close.
And in fact, I bet I know who it is.
So we're looking for a piece composed by or with other people, Smokey Robinson, Carole King, Burt Bacharach, Berry Gordy, Buddy Holly, and Dana took the only show tune on there.
That's
Meredith
right.
Wilson.
That's right, baby. okay.
Yeah. They once announced in a performance of that it was written by their favorite singer, Sophie Tucker. You got a big laugh out of that line. Yeah. Anyway, so Till There Was You is that, and we're looking for the other five.
All right. And I'll go ahead and do a question, and then we'll start taking some more calls. All right. Who was the only American writer, to win the Pulitzer Prize, the National Book Award, and the National Book Critics Circle Award all in the same year, 1976? The only writer ever to win the Pulitzer Prize, the National Book Award, and the National Book Critics Circle Award in the same year, 1976.
So now I'm just trying to think of a popular book from 1976.
And good.
Well.
Yeah, critically good.
Critically, yeah, yes, critically popular. Let's go with Roth.
No.
Yeah, that occurred to me, too.
So only one American writer has ever won the Pulitzer Prize, the National Book Award, and the National Book Critics Circle Award all in the same year.
Mailer.
Yeah. And it was 76.
Right? 1976, yeah.
How about Maya Angelou?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a man. I'll give you that.
Milton Friedman.
No.
It's a good year for him, though.
So work on that. And?
Still going through all the best pictures.
I thought we got them all.
No.
So actually, that's thank you for reminding me that we should repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jeremy, you go first.
Sure. The Swedish Academy, who selects the Nobel Prizes, lists a primary language for each of the 113 literature winners. 13 languages appear on the list more than once. What are they? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 languages left, ready for you to call in and pick. And then next, who is the oldest person to serve as Secretary of Defense of the United States?
And you say it's fairly recent.
You guys said it, and I agreed with you.
Okay.
your deductive reasoning was quite strong.
It was after Rumsfeld.
It was. Rumsfeld used to be the oldest and has now since been eclipsed.
Yeah. And I think he said it was Obama. So it was Obama's
secretary. It was a secretary under Obama. Yes, that's correct.
All right.
So all we're going to do is figure out that. I have this. In the National Film Registry, there are five films whose first word is an actual number written out with numerals. And we got 12 Angry Men, 2001 A Space Odyssey, and 42nd Street. We're looking for the two others. And then there are five Beatles songs that they recorded, one and only one, as far as I could tell, by these composers. Smokey Robinson, Carole King, Burt Bacharach, Berry Gordy, and Buddy Holly. Name that tune.
Is this Please, Mr. Postman, Berry Gordy?
It is not.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's a great song, but he didn't. Neither of the two you've guessed have done it so far.
Who is the only American writer to win the Pulitzer Prize, the National Book Award, and the National Book Critics Circle Award all in the same year, 1976? And who is the first actor, very well-known actor, first actor to star in back-to-back Best Pictures?
How about Charles Laughton?
Not Charles Laughton.
Is it that far back, though? 30s?
Could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
who was the first actor to star in back-to-back Best Pictures? And it's a very well-known
Clark
actor.
Clark Gable. 34 and 35.
That's right.
Happened one night, and Mutiny on the Bounty.
You wouldn't have gotten it, except he said Charles Laughton.
That was very much a team effort.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Very good.
That was good.
Okay. Excellent. Right. And I have a list of
teamwork.
The BBC National Poll of the 100 Greatest Britons of All Time. I have the top 10. So far, we have Winston Churchill, Darwin, Shakespeare, Isaac Newton, Elizabeth I, and Lord Nelson. And I will say that one of the remaining four... their head was on a spike opposite in front of Westminster Abbey for 5 years.
I'm going to guess Oliver Cromwell.
That is correct.
Ah, so close to Charles I. So close to Charles I.
He's the spike guy too, right?
Oliver Cromwell died in 1558. And then when Charles II came in, the Restoration, he dug up. He had Oliver Cromwell dug up.
Dug him up. Oh.
He quartered him, which means they cut a body into pieces. They took the head.
Yeah.
And they put the head on a spike in front of Westminster Abbey for 5 years. And
it must have rotted.
It stayed there and it rotted. But eventually it passed from person to person. And actually nobody knows exactly where the head is now.
What do you mean? People took it down and passed it around?
It was given away.
Please check your
And
attics.
Then sold later on. And
if you're listening in England.
It passed to three or four different people, and nobody's quite sure where it is.
It's the worst
anymore.
Stocking stuff in Britain right now.
White elephant gift gone crazy.
So Oliver Cromwell, yes. So there's still three left on that list. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? No? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
And let's see, on the famous, around the Britons, you already got Nelson, which I was waiting to say, but how about Charles Dickens?
Not Charles Dickens, strangely enough. He is guess. In the 100, obviously, but not in the top 10.
Okay. Born in Scotland was Alexander Graham Bell. I don't know if he counts.
No, not Alexander Graham Bell.
All right. Anyway, I had a question.
Right.
And interestingly, the question I was going to ask is, who is the only writer to win the Pulitzer Prize, the National Book Award, and the National Book Critics Circle Award in the same year?
Really? And you better know the answer.
I hope one of the two of you knows the answer to this.
I do know the answer, because this person was died last week.
He died a week ago, yeah, John Ashbery.
John Ashbery, yes.
Oh. And it was for Self-Portrait in a Convict's Mirror.
You're right, excellent. I'm glad you got that.
It's a good question.
That's a great way to know the answer, having written the question.
Thank you very
both
much.
Both of you should have to pledge one of the remaining letters.
Speaking of pledges, thank you for that segue. We are trying to get a pledge for every letter in Minds Over Matter, which is 15 pledges tonight over the course of the hour. And if you want to repeat on a letter, in other words, if two people want the same letter, that's absolutely fine, of course. We'll get 16 pledges. So hopefully we can cover that 15. The number is 1-800-525-9917, or you can go to kalw.org.
Just about halfway there. We've got 8 to go.
Excellent. Okay.
Beautiful.
And in the meantime, Jeremy, I think it's your turn.
Sure. What are the titular cities in Charles Dickens' 1859 novel, A Tale of Two Cities? I need two answers here.
Going to go with Paris and London?
Sorry, I have London and Paris. I can't take that. Yes, that's it.
You have to ask a harder question
right.
than that.
Certainly.
That was rough.
I just did
a backflip for those who are acknowledging that. It's my fourth one.
I'm just trying to get you to do as many backflips as possible. I'm just cruel here. All right. What is the only entry to appear in more than 500 New York Times crossword puzzles during Will Shortz's tenure?
Oh, what a good question.
Is his tenure over?
No.
Okay.
His still continuing rain.
Yeah. So this
late 94.
This
started.
Has the most entries over 500.
Most occurrences.
Is it a Russian word?
It is.
Yes.
So can you frame it in some way? Is it a title? Is it a name? Is it how can
When it's used in the puzzle, it's generally used as a noun, although sometimes as an initialism. And I can give you know, hintier hints than that.
How many letters?
Yeah.
How many do you think? It is three.
All right. Okay.
Although the runner-up is four letters, actually. So
okay.
Most of the top ones are three.
Okay.
Hmm.
So it's usually a noun, but it also serves as other parts of speech.
If I were to clue this, I would either clue it as an initialism or as a noun.
Okay.
But not in Russian.
That's not something I get off the top of my head.
I thought it would lead to a couple interesting guesses. All right. I have a hint here.
Did you give us the hint?
I'll give you the hint.
I'll take the hint.
All five of its anagrams have also appeared more than 100 times.
That's a great hint.
It's vowel, consonant, vowel.
Oh.
And they're all really common letters, which comes as no surprise, as, you know, pretty much all vowels are.
Vowel.
Yes.
All right. Ask the question once more.
Sure. What's the only entry to appear in more than 500 New York Times crossword puzzles during Will Shortz's tenure? And I noted that all five of its anagrams have appeared at least 100 times, including once tomorrow.
Oh.
To spoil tomorrow's puzzle a tiny bit.
That's a cryptographer question.
It is definitely,
well, that's
yes.
All right, that's,
And
so how about eight? ATE? That wouldn't be it?
No. That's an excellent guess, though.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. I'm trying to think. I think only five of the six there have appeared.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think there's five anagrams of it, but I can't work.
Vowel, consonant, vowel. Okay.
AET would be the weird one. The other five, I'm sure, have occurred.
Yeah.
No, that's a great guess.
All right. And
quite close, I'd argue.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Let's see, for Great Britons, how about Sir Francis Drake?
No.
Okay. And let's see, when you were talking about the Secretaries of Defense, I was thinking, before you mentioned that it was earlier than that, that might include Secretaries of War, and Henry Stimson might be a candidate.
No, it's certainly a great guess because they brought him back, but Rumsfeld actually served older than Stimson did.
And the writer you're looking for, could it be Michener?
Prize winner. Oh, no, that was just answered. John Ashbery, the poet.
Ah, okay.
Good.
And I have a question.
Yes.
In 1970, the film director Robert Altman made the movie MASH.
MASH, sure.
For which he was paid about $70,000. His son Mike, who was 14 years old,
he wrote the theme.
Excuse me?
He wrote the theme.
The theme song.
Yeah.
The words for the theme song. Yes.
Right. Suicide is painless.
Right.
It brings on many changes. Anyway.
And he was 14?
And today is National Suicide Awareness Day. That's perfect.
And he ended up making a ton more money off it than
his father did. Oh, I didn't know that.
That's true.
They used the song in the TV show. Is that why he
made
it?
But with no lyrics.
Exactly. All those royalties.
Well, no lyrics in the song?
I don't think there are lyrics in the TV version.
But
he still probably gets the money.
Royalties, though.
Yeah. Right.
Wow, that's neat.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Keep pledging.
Thank you. And, right, I'll make another plea here. Just to remind you, we are doing pledging tonight, and, of course, KLW is in his general pledge drive. But if you appreciate the fine programming that here at KLW, and, of course, if you appreciate Minds Over Matter, which we've been bringing you for the last 24 years, we hope you will step up and make a pledge tonight. We're trying to get a pledge for each letter in Minds Over Matter. That's 15 letters, by the way. Each letter in Minds Over Matter, you can pick whatever letter you like. You can make a pledge at whatever amount you choose. That number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, or you can go to kalw.org. But we certainly urge you to do that if you really appreciate the show that we try to put on for you every week here. And if you enjoy it, now's the time to pledge and help support the station that puts us on. So thank you very much for that. And Lori, I believe it's your turn.
How about ape for the
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I don't think PAE shows up too much.
Okay. And I have ale. You said I was close on the eight, but that's not it either.
You've got the right two vowels, and you've ruled out three of the 21 possible consonants. Yeah. So,
all right. So it starts with A and ends with E, and there's one in the middle. Dana, I'm giving you the plate because
you already tried eight.
No.
Okay. No, it's not aw.
I, A-Y-E?
No.
Give us a question, Lori.
Okay. Okay, for reasons I don't understand, there are many common boys' names that end in the letter S. Curtis, Lewis, Nicholas, Thomas, Lucas, James, and very few girls' names. So I looked at Baby Wizard, which is this great website about names. In the last 10 years, there's only six girls' names, common girls' names that end in the letter S that are in the top 1,000.
Lois?
Lois is not in the top 1,000.
That was my mother's
anymore.
Name.
Yeah.
Nobody uses that anymore.
The mom on Family Guy, that's clearly.
Yeah.
Tiffany's, Ashley's.
Tiffany's Madison's. With an S at the end. No, you can't make them into a plural.
Okay.
Yeah, but Lois is a good guess.
So this is in the top.
This is it. They're in the top 1,000 the last 10
top
years.
Top 1,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
1,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
And two are in the top 100?
Let me run this over quickly in my mind.
Okay.
The top 1,000.
Yeah.
Well, just try to think like that. Try to think.
I have
of
them
women.
Alphabetized by second letter, so this is going to be trouble.
Just try to think of women's
names.
This is
more of a Jeremy question.
Yeah.
There aren't that. Men's just come up over and over, and I don't know why this is.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, women's names and a couple are pretty
Venus.
Common. Not Venus, but that's not as far off as you think.
Alice.
Some of these.
Well, Alice. Wait. Alice.
Alice spelled L-A-I-S. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, okay.
Anyway, so work on that. Girls or women's name that end in the letter S. I'm looking for six that I could find that are in the top 1,000 in the last 10 years.
Okay. And, all right, I'll give you a quick question here. Jeremy, you may knock this off very quickly. I don't know. What is the only time one president followed another, and then they had the same initials, first and last.
Is it Clark Gable?
It was the only time one president followed another, and they both had the same first and last initial.
Oh, sure. Monroe and Madison.
That's correct.
Oh, nice.
Luckily, I started at the beginning.
Yes, it's easier when you start at the beginning. All right. What is the only time the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded posthumously?
Dag Hammarskjöld?
That is correct. 1961. Very good.
Right. I've been doing a lot of those posthumous things lately. That's good.
Who was the very famous person who was the first known, who wrote the first known written report of a hurricane?
God.
Very famous person who wrote the first known written report of a hurricane.
Ptolemy?
Man. No.
Am I going a little too far back, I'm guessing,
I think
by
so.
Your tone?
I think so.
Hannibal. So how about Twain?
No.
Okay. Before him?
Before Mark Twain.
Milton.
So somewhere between Ptolemy and Twain.
It's like a blind guy.
Who was the very well-known person who wrote the first known written report of a hurricane?
I'm trying to think who were famous Weather Service people.
Al Roker.
Yes. Willard Scott.
Were they reporters, like, covering this, or were they, like...
No, it was just this person had some...
Had some experience.
Hands-on experience with the hurricane.
You want to give us...
Ernest Hemingway.
No.
All right.
You want to give us a century?
Sorry, I went to Cuba for some reason.
A century?
Before the 19th century.
Okay.
And let's go to a call.
Stevenson.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Zed. How are you?
Hey.
Yeah, so with all of this horrible thing happening in Florida and Texas and all of that, very sad. There's also have been a lot of sun flares happening just in the last 6 days. A lot. Far more than usual.
Coincidence?
I think not. You be the judge.
there's probably some connection somehow, but what I'd like to ask, could Gaia be angry at the climate deniers?
Is that a trivia question?
Well, it is, really. Could it be? Yeah.
Like that? Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I think it's something, you know, the universe have conscience, and I think the universe is very, very unhappy with this garbage going on with the, you know, Trump administration. Okay, very quick question. So we're talking about the sun. I need three elements, named after the sun. Which one?
Helium.
Helium it is. After Earth.
Trillium?
Mm-hmm. Trillium. Very good. The moon, the last one.
Selenium.
Selenium. Very good. You know a lot.
Jeremy,
thank you,
yes.
guys. Have a good weekend. Please, everybody, donate money to KLW, one of the best stations we have. Thank you.
Thanks,
Eve.
Thank Take you. Care. Bye-bye.
We have our studio audience has a guess about the hurricane.
Oh, okay.
Ben Franklin.
No.
Oh.
It's a perfectly
that's,
logical
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, poor man,
that's
poor
good,
Richard.
Yeah. All right. But no.
All right. That's it for the studio audience.
Jeremy, if you have a quick question, go ahead.
Sure. Who are the what's a quick one? What four U.S. state capitals' names contain the word city?
Oklahoma.
That's one.
Jefferson City.
That's two.
Carson City.
That's three.
Kansas.
And the fourth one is always the one people get last, including me the first time I heard it. No Kansas. That's Topeka, of course, or Jefferson City.
Let's see. What's the last one? It'll come to me in a second. Anyway, repeat that.
Sure. What four U.S. state capitals' names contain the word city? And we heard Jefferson City, Carson City, Oklahoma City. But
no,
fourth one. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. You there? Anybody there? No? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. I have some guesses. The oldest Secretary of Defense was Leon Panetta.
Absolutely right.
Oh, I didn't realize he was that.
Oh, yeah. Yay. First hurricane, was that Columbus?
Yes, Columbus, oh, nice. 1495.
Let's see. Nobel Prize language. How about Mandarin?
So they actually list Chinese as one language, and that is
okay.
That is correct.
That one, yay. The first word as a number in a movie. How about Five Easy Pieces?
No, oh, that's a good guess.
The five is written out that's as a true. Word in that one, not a number.
Oh, good point. Okay, so I suppose 1 million years BC is probably...
yeah, no.
You know, there's
no.
two reasons that one's ruled out.
But, well, it's written as a number, but it's just not it.
Well, it's on my list.
It's on a lot
darn
of,
it, sorry.
It's on a lot of guys' lists.
Let's see, top 10 Brits. How about Thatcher?
No politicians left on the list.
Okay, Turing?
No, he's in the top 20, I believe.
He
but
should
not,
be.
Not the top 10.
Yeah, okay, and one more guess on the Beatles song. How about Mr. Moonlight?
No, that was not written by any of those people. I forget who wrote it, but none of those famous people. It's a great guess.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Vowel consonant vowel, how about eight? That was in past of eat.
No, that was already guessed. Laurie guessed
eight?
That. It's a great guess, but no.
Nope.
And eight is also how you could start a film with a number, but that's completely different. No, it's not 18.
Eight and a half would be one.
Eight and a half.
Eight
yes.
and a half. There right. you go.
Not American, though.
No.
Shoot. And then, I listened to last week's podcast, and that's the first part of the show. I was happy to hear Carmen Dragons mention. So my grandfather went to school with him.
Oh, neat.
Oh, all right.
And Antioch grew up with him and played in his bands when he was at San Jose State.
That's
and
cool.
also, he helped my grandfather get his union license for the Musicians Union.
Oh, neat. So
nice.
It was great. Do you know the only movie he appeared in?
Carmen Dragon.
Carmen Dragon.
Yeah.
Did he, no. Was it a comedy film?
It's a mad world.
No.
Because everyone was in that.
Did he, like, have a, it was like a cameo punch of him conducting an orchestra.
Is this like Count
yeah,
Basie and Blazing Saddles?
The Paramus.
It's
Paramus
something like that.
Orchestra.
Wow, okay. Paramus. Hmm.
Yeah.
Can you tell us someone who's in the film, perhaps?
Wasn't it a Jerry Lewis movie, was it?
No. I can give you, if I give you the name, it'll probably give it away, but it's short on time. So, yeah, Alan Arkin.
The Russians are coming.
No, well, good guess.
Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
A comedy?
Yeah, I mean, he founded Second City.
Yeah.
Or co-founded, one of the originals.
And the man with one eye, one glass eye.
Peter Falk. Oh, the father of the
father
in-laws.
The in-laws, the original
the
in-laws.
Right.
Yeah, Serpentine.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Excellent.
And then one other question, because Jeremy's on. I just heard this term for the first time and discovered what it was. Do you know what cryptomnesia is?
Let's see. Crypto is hidden. Nesia, hidden
amnesia.
Knowledge? Hidden? No. Gnosis is knowledge. I don't know what cryptonesia is.
And then Paul McCartney was was afraid he had this when he came up with the tune for Yesterday.
Something about scrambled eggs.
No, no, those are the lyrics. When he came up with the music for it, though, he for about a year or so, he went around playing it for people because he thought that he'd heard it
before.
Is
it the reverse of Deja Vu?
Is. It's not Deja Vu, but it's something that you've heard before, but you assume that it's an original idea.
So
he had that with the tune for Yesterday. He thought it was an old folk song or something, so he went around for about a year and a half playing it for everybody and making them sick, saying, you know, can you recognize this tune? Because he was sure that he'd heard it before.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Great show.
So, Data, any more women on the BBC list?
Yes. There are one more.
What's her name?
Jane Austen.
Not Jane Austen.
Is it an author?
It is not an author. It is a public figure. Very public figure. And
Princess Diana.
Princess Diana.
Of course. Yeah.
Yes, that is one. Very good. And the other two are men. And one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, it's Laurie in the Richmond. Sorry to call twice. But what about Sir Walter Raleigh?
Nope.
And, okay, Chaucer?
Nope.
Great. Marlowe?
Nope.
Okay, they don't like people. Okay. So then I had Columbus, and that's wrong. And let's see what else. Oh, for girls' names, what about Marlis or Amaryllis?
Neither one. Shocking.
Okay. And they're old-fashioned, so I didn't think so.
Yeah.
And then, what about for the languages? this will hopefully thrill our friend, Egyptian.
No. Nope.
Because I can't pronounce his name, but there was a guy who won. Okay, how about Vietnamese?
My food. No Vietnamese, no, zero on both.
Okay, and Farsi?
Nope, none on Farsi.
I wanted to show off my weird languages. Okay, and...
There is a Nobel for Lit who was born in Iran, but she writes in English.
Oh, yeah. Rushdie?
No.
It's someone else. Okay, so then I have a quick question. If you don't want to answer it, fine, but... The Beatles wrote a song that John Denver covered.
Oof. We're almost out of time, so we could take a quick guess.
I don't know.
Don't know?
No, I don't know.
All right, I don't know either. Sorry.
Okay, it's crazy. Mother Nature's Son.
Oh, sure.
All right.
Makes sense.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
And we have a couple minutes left in the show, but I just wanted to remind you again, we have two letters left to fill up in Minds Over Matter in the 15 letters. So we hope you will call in and pledge if you enjoy Minds Over Matter that we've been bringing you for the last 24 years. And, of course, all the great programming that is here on KALW. That number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, or you can go to kalw.org. KALW.org. We certainly appreciate
We're
any
close.
Pledge you make, and we appreciate the fact that you appreciate us. So thanks for that. All right, time to clean up here. Jeremy, I will start with you.
All right, the remaining Nobel languages. Anyone want to take a shot in the air? They are Danish.
Danish, okay.
Yeah, Greek, and Norwegian.
Huh.
Danish, Greek, and Norwegian.
All right.
Okay, that's it.
Sorry. And I was so excited about that one. And then the word, the three-letter word, it's ERA, E-R-A, which is an anagram of, well, I'll
ERA.
Leave that to you.
Okay.
Yeah. The girls' names in reverse order of popularity are Mercedes, then, believe it or not, Isis, Iris, Paris, Genesis, and Alexis.
Isis probably less popular now.
The Beatles songs, Smokey Robinson wrote You Really Got a Hold on Me. Carole King wrote Chains. Burt Bacharach wrote Baby, It's You. Barry Gordy wrote Money, That's What I Want. Buddy Holly wrote Words of Love. And the two films we don't have that start with numbers are 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and 310 to Yuma.
Oh,
the more recent one.
The remake?
Yeah.
Really, the
yeah,
remake? Wow.
Yeah.
And
I'm wrong.
The 1956,
I think. One. The BBC National Poll, the only people that nobody got, John Lennon. John Lennon was number
Beatles
eight.
Questions.
And a name that nobody's going to get, although he was extremely influential in Britain, Isambard Brunel. Isambard Brunel is one of the great engineers of all time who helped build the Tay Bridge. And,
good that
and,
he's famous.
Yeah, very famous in England. Let's see. Was there anything else? Anything I'm missing here? No, I guess that's it. Okay. Many thanks for those of you who called and pledged. There's still time to do it. 1-800-525-9917 or kalw.org. My thanks to our panel tonight, Jeremy Horwitz. Thank you very much, Jeremy. And, of course, Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My great thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handing the board and phones. And, of course, my everlasting thanks to you for taking the time to tune in tonight and listen and call and pledge. So thanks a lot, everybody, and we'll be back next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.